Papal Royal. Papal is royal.
It's all about royalty.
The trans people are that royal.
Remember, we are loyal.
Nothing for us without us.
This is about us.
Love us just the way we are.
This is who we are.
We love who we are.
This is the time to speak.
This is the time to be heard.
Time for trans people to be heard.
This is Papal Royal.
Welcome to another episode of the Papal Royal Podcast. I'm your host, Tanag. On this platform, we share real-life experiences of trans community in Zimbabwe. Very personal, eye-opening, and intriguing. In this episode, we hear from a trans man from Zimbabwe's oldest town, Mashingo. His name is Rai and talks about his early life and how he then moved to Harare in search of greener pastures. That move changed the course of his life, well, in a not so positive way. Listen to this.
Hi, I'm Rai, a trans man from Mashingo, Zimbabwe, the oldest town in Zimbabwe. A place that represents strength in beliefs and culture. I grew up masculine presenting. You would find me playing with the boys, soccer, with our vests off, cops and robbers. I would ignore the Barbie dolls for toy guns and grenades. I would admire the pretty girls in a way I knew was different. I would always get lectures on being more like a girl, from sitting, being made to wear dresses and skirts, and was also separated from interacting with the boys. I just didn't want to be a girl. I didn't feel very connected to being a version of a girl that they were expecting. I just wanted to be myself. So growing up in this town ultimately pushed me to hide. I hid who I was under layers of dresses and skirts. I was never comfortable. I did it to conform. I did it so I wouldn't have to face harassment, as I had faced it many times before passing by Mawindi, the local taxi money collectors known for being vocal and creating havoc, especially towards people like me. At school it was the same. When I would wear sportswear, I would drop my bottom so they would call me names. So I figured hiding was my best solution. As I grew up, I managed to get by, but the hiding was killing me. I didn't know to what extent until the incident of July 2016. I had fled to Harare, a city I thought would be more inclusive. Working as a homeschool supervisor, resident at the house I was working in, I fell in love with an amazing girl who was staying in our street. I was in a good place. I had a job, I had a roof over my head, and I was in love. Life couldn't have been better. I started to dream, I started to dare, I started to wear the things I was most comfortable in. I had built a nice little bubble for myself. I was comfortable. Horrifically, the bubble burst. One night, I was deep in love, texting Anne. Little did I know that Anne's mom had gotten hold of her phone and was asking who I was and where to find me. In a state of panic, Anne told her mom everything. I was lying on my bed when a vicious knock jolted me out of bed. I could hear voices. I could hear commotion. I went to the kitchen to find what the commotion was about, and I found Anne's face bleeding. Anne was crying, and Anne's mom faced me with anger. I continued to step into the room, and Anne's mom started shouting, "Satan! Unema demon! You are demonic! Disgusting! No se mesa! How can you prey on my daughter?" I was vilified, trembling, confused. This was a relationship we both had consented to. This was love. But because of me being termed abnormal in society, we were both judged and beaten for it. Anne's mom threatened to call every newspaper in the nation. Anne's mom threatened to get me arrested. She attacked me with the belt as well, and I did nothing. I could have defended myself, but out of respect for her, I chose not to. I could have said anything, but I chose peace and kept quiet. Instead, I let my tears fall. I blamed myself. My bosses, who had become like my parents, were not around at the time and saw none of this, so I was grateful and thought the storm had passed. But I was wrong. The next day in the morning, Anne's mom came back, armed with a phone full of text messages of my love. She showed it as evidence in a case against me and the Mandidas. I thought my job was over. I thought I'd be cast out. I thought so many things. But I wasn't fired. And this gave me hope. Little did I know, I was wrong. My hope was soon shattered with each day as Mr. Mandida, hell-bent on correcting me, subjected me to his own attempt at conversion. I sat there and watched videos. I pretended to agree with how my, in quotes, sin needed to be dealt with. I was made to read articles on people that had been successfully converted, especially through religion. We would have Bible study, and then it began. I began to feel awful, and depression came to me with each passing minute. I lost the little confidence I had in myself. I lost my smile. I lost my reasons and purpose, goals and dreams. I just became a shell. The judgment from the videos, the way Mr. Mandida twisted words to make me like an outcast, it broke me. This went on until he decided I should also attend a church conference. And upon arriving there, I felt like I was in hell on earth. The preacher would constantly point out practices he did not agree with. There was nothing that explained my existence, why I was born the way I was, why I should also have been valued, loved, protected like any other human being. Instead, I was told about why I don't deserve to exist. I was born this way, just as unique as they were. After church, my depression intensified. Constantly, I thought of ways to end my life. I would take long walks just pondering. I would go on Google, spend late nights just researching on a sure way to die. Days passed, feeling this empty until my contract with the Mandidas expired and they chose not to renew it. Believe me, this was a blessing in disguise. I packed my bags and went home. And surprisingly, I began to feel like myself again. Surrounded by a community that made me feel better. Away from the extreme judgments that I had endured. I began to find a reason to live again. My story is often untold. Many people battle with depression from different reasons and circumstances. I went through it and survived. Despite what they used to tell me, that God hates me and judges me, my proof of life goes to show the opposite. That same God loves me. So even though I do not know why I was born different, I get to wake up each day and know that there was a reason. Sharing this story will help other victims of depression or potential suicide. I hope it inspires you too.
Very inspiring indeed, and also saddens and angers. I mean, conversion therapy. What is more worrying again is how Rai ended up losing employment when he was outed by the mother of his lover. The employers started preaching to Rai to convert and didn't renew the employment contract. Although Rai says that was a blessing in disguise, this is also evidence that transgender people face unbearable stigma and discrimination in the workplace. Now, according to a study done by Transmart Trust in partnership with RFSL on trans inclusion in the development framework of Zimbabwe, it was revealed that over 80% of transgender people find it difficult to get employed because of various reasons, including the employer refusing to work with one because they are transgender. Some also have reported being sabotaged and blackmailed at work because of being transgender. This can only be corrected if there are national policies that are inclusive and protect everyone from discrimination. We still have a long way to go in Zimbabwe. And on a lighter note, in the following audio is a song done by a trans community member from Bulawayo, and it's also available on YouTube. The title of the track is Umtombo Wothando, done by Shuwile Savage. The chorus has very encouraging words of power and love for anyone stigmatized, just like what Rai faced. Listen to this.
They don't know it yet. You were just a sense of greatness. My soul's like Gini, I could begin that. Texting Shansha. Womso Bootando.
Give them love. Show them love. You are
Would like to thank our partners for supporting the production of this episode: the Other Foundation, PEPFAR, Frida Fund, Transmart Trust, and the Children's Radio Foundation. If you are an NGO, corporate, or philanthropist, we encourage you to get involved and reach out to us. The Paper Royal Podcast is for the community, by the community. Together, we will continue to give a voice to the often silenced yet valuable trans population in Zimbabwe. Don't forget to follow us and contact us on our social media platforms on Facebook and on Instagram. We are at Paper Royal Podcast. I'm your host, Tanaka. Thank you for listening and sharing this podcast with your networks. Looking forward to the next episode. Until then, take care.